Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I am Brian Hefty. I'll be joined shortly by my brother Darren. Today on the show, we're going to talk a little about rebate and tie-in programs. And I know you don't like rebate programs. Believe me, I don't like them either. But the whole thing is there are some companies now that have some really big program offers. This kind of started last year on a big scale with Bayer Plus, but you look at programs from FMC, Corteva, Valent. I mean, it's just a lot of dollars out there. So we want to talk through that a little bit today, because ultimately what we're trying to always help you accomplish is to get more for less money, or at least more for the same money, so you can be more profitable on the farm. It's tough to make money on the farm right now, and you need every possible advantage you can get. So we'll talk about that as we go throughout the show today. You can email us, radio@agphd.com, if you've got any questions for us. We're going to get to the Ag PhD mailbag here in just a minute. You can also find us on Twitter, Ag PhD Media, Darren Hefty or Brian Hefty. And if you'd like to call into today's show, if you've got any questions for us, or if you would like to talk about our topic today, rebates, or talk about anything that's happening on your farm, love to hear from you. The number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. With rebate and tie-in programs, I'll just give you a couple of things here and then we'll get into the mailbag. But first of all, Bayer Plus, when they came out with that last year, and so let me just give you a little bit of history background on myself. So I've been a full-time agronomist for 30 years now, and I grew up on the farm. We still farm today. I live on our home farm, as a matter of fact. And so I've been around this industry my entire life. I've seen just about every program, every rebate program that's come out in almost 40 years now. And that Bayer Plus thing, when it came out, and I'll also give you a little more background on this. So I got to see it before almost anybody else did. I was at Bayer's headquarters in St. Louis. So it had been June of 2019, and they showed me what they were planning to do for a program, hadn't rolled it out to their people or anything else yet. And I said, wow, that's aggressive. I mean, as a farmer, you'll get me interested in that, because there are going to be some things where literally you've cut my cost in half. Well, if you can cut my cost in half or even by a third, which was a lot of the products, I'm going, yep, I'm in. And anyway, their program far exceeded what their expectations were, because they told me what their expectations were at the time. And I go, look, I feel like I have a pretty good read on things when I'm talking to farmers every day. I farm myself. And I just said, your estimates are way too low. And sure enough, they moved a lot more product than they thought they were going to, because I just told them, look, farmers are price sensitive. If you're willing to cut your price net by, in effect, 30% across the board, you're going to get a lot more people buying your stuff. And they didn't quite believe me, but I think now they do. But anyway, that was a huge one. Well, FMC has had a big one out for about 3 years probably, FMC Freedom Pass. That's huge. And that one's super simple. You don't even have to buy any other products to tie in on that deal. Valent was in Bayer Plus last year. Now, they're in it again this coming year, but it's just a little bit different how they're doing it. So it's more kind of across the board, basically $3. So you can check out all of those programs. Now, with Corteva, theirs is the most complicated program I've ever seen, and it's not even close. I mean, it's probably three times more complicated than any program I've ever seen. If you're willing to jump through all the hoops, the net deal is actually fairly decent. They're stepping their program up from 5% to 10% this year, but it's just it's a little painful jumping through all the hoops. But like I say, if you're willing to do that, their program is not too bad either. Haven't seen anything yet from Syngenta. I am not sure what BSF is going to do. They've said they're going to be a little bit more aggressive, but I haven't seen what they're up to yet either. Please understand, too, for a lot of these companies, they don't start their next year until October 1st. So I know, even though Bayer got to jump on things again here this year and several other companies have, there are some companies that typically don't do anything until after October 1st. So I'd look for some more programs, some better pricing after October 1st. So I'm kind of excited about that. All right, we'll talk more about rebate and tie-in programs here later in the show. But right now, let's get to the Ag PhD mailbag. First one is from Craig in Wisconsin. He says, is there a certain micronutrient spreader you would recommend? I've mixed it with micronutrients. I've mixed micronutrients with N, P, and K, and it seems to bounce to the bottom of the spreader. Yes, Craig, I hear you. That's why you got to be super careful about what you're putting together for dry fertilizer. What would you suggest? I would say, Craig, what you could do is buy a micro bin for the back of your spreader. Otherwise, you can certainly compartmentalize a current spreader. There are ways to do this. So I would talk to some equipment people in your area, see what your best option is, because I don't know, you know, how big a deal this is for you, how many acres you have or anything else. If it's small acreage, I just spread the micro separate and make a separate pass. So we've done a bunch of that, but we also have multi-bin spreaders. So we've done it a whole bunch of different ways, and you certainly can as well. Next one, I don't have a first name, but it's Smith. Smith asks or says, I'm not even a farmer, but I enjoy listening to you guys just for the education. Thanks. Well, hey, thanks for that. We appreciate that. I got another interesting one here. This one says, and I don't have a name on this one either, but it says, what do you do if you're a homesteader on a budget and you're trying to turn green foxtail into beer to survive the winter? I'm trying to go on, my own way. Well, I don't have a lot of advice for you other than to say we live in a really, really cold climate, and that sounds like an interesting idea to me, so I might have to check that one out. All right, next one. Boy, I'm on a roll here for no first names, but anyway, this one just says, hey, I was watching your crop rotation video you just did on at the IPHD TV show. Looks like there's a bunch of tile that needs to get put in that field. Yes, I would agree with you there, and it's one of the things, too, when we talk about crop rotation, a lot of people talk about, oh, I'm going to put cover crops in, or let's just go permanent grass where it's poorly drained. Well, you can do all those things, but at the end of the day, it's just like I talked about at the start of the show. We got to make money if we're farmers. Well, how are you going to do that if you put your stuff into grass? Now, granted, if you could sell your grass, hey, for a lot of money, great, do it. But otherwise, that's where tile drainage really can help and actually improve the environment as well. All right, we'll get two more of your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag later in the show. But next, we're going to talk about rebate and tie-in programs. Stay tuned.
Revitec fungicide from BASF has been specifically developed for the selective soybean grower who doesn't compromise. If you think good is good enough, if you're okay with just achieving rather than overachieving, if average is your goal, this is not the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide, brand new chemistry, 3 no-excuse modes of action, 0 modes of compromise. Sounds like the fungicide for you. Revitec fungicide from BASF, that's smart. Always read and follow label directions.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy, all the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
Get tough on herbicide-resistant weeds. Add Tough 5-EC into your post-emergence tank mix and increase control of some of the toughest-to-kill herbicide-resistant weeds that plague corn, such as Palmer amaranth and water hemp. Tough 5-EC is a selective contact herbicide with an underutilized mode of action that provides faster kill and application flexibility for post-emergence control of key broadleaf weeds. Ask your local retailer about Tough 5-EC or visit BelchamUSA.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Downtime during spraying can lead to huge yield losses. Keep rolling with the Pentair Hypro Force Field. This pump features a unique self-regulated chamber that allows the pump to run dry while eliminating cracked seals, so you can spray longer and more reliably. Learn more at pentair.com/hypro.
Make every bushel count with the End Zone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shatter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. Condition your grain for ideal moisture with the End Zone. Visit farmshopmfg.com for more.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Brian Hefty here. I'll be joined shortly by my brother, Darren. We're going to talk about rebate and tie-in programs on today's show. If you've got any questions for us, you can give us a call here, 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743, or send us an email, radio@agphd.com. All right, so first on the show today, we've got Quentin Brandt. He is with Valent. Quentin, how are you doing today?
Hey, Brian. I'm doing really well. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. All right, so I got a couple of things for you. Let me start you with this. With Valent and the offer last year in Bear Plus, it looks a lot different than Valent's offer this year in Bear Plus, and that's really the big rebate program that's out there that Valent participates in. So can you talk about what the difference is between last year and this year, and why in some cases that actually could be an advantage for some farmers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a really good question, Brian, and one probably really good to start out with, too. So if you remember from last year, and I appreciate your enthusiasm, I listened to the top of the show there, and I appreciate hearing that because I think it really echoes of what I've heard all of last season, too, with the ability to maximize the on-farm finances there is always key for everybody. So one thing that was in play last year was the Valent products were included in on the 2, 2, 3, 4, 5 section of the program, where this year Valent's got its own section and it's actually called the eligible partner products. So whereas last year, I know several people I talked to were maxing out the program and were all in with their Bear products and with the Valent products as well. So this year, the advantage is you're actually able to utilize any portion, all or one of the Valent products within that eligible partner product incentive box.
Yeah, in my region of the country, there is a lot of small grain and a lot of guys who do three-crop rotation. Well, if you're into three different crops, then there were a lot of people who are maxing out the program, like you say, and the max was 5 last year, and it is 5 this coming year. But the difference is now it's just the Bear products that count toward the 5. With the Valent products, you can get in, get a couple of bucks there, get another buck tied in with Roundup. So in effect, it's $3. And I know there were a lot of people I've talked to already who've been excited about that because they said, yeah, actually, it's going to mean more total dollars for me this coming year. So that all looks good. Next thing is Fall Valor. When we start talking about that, that is going to change a little bit because Valor Easy, the liquid, is still going to be in this program. What's happening with the Valor Dry?
Yeah, so you're exactly right, Brian. I just recommend the whenever you're going out there, the Valor Dry. You're exactly right. Where it was in on the add-on products last year, it is going to be only the Valor EZ included into the Bear Plus program here. So one thing that we're doing with Valor SX is excluding that, and we're leaving the Bear Plus to really maximize on the Fierce brands. You'll see the full pre-emergence products of the Fierce brands included into the Bear Plus program, including, of course, the Fierce EZ, Fierce MTZ, and Fierce XLT in there as well.
Yeah. Do you have any comments for us on Valor Dry pricing and any information on what might be happening there?
So you're right. That's one that comes out closer to October, but you'll see there that we're really aligning those key products in the Bear Plus for this upcoming market year.
All right. Any other comments with the Bear Plus rebate or anything else there in terms of rebate programs?
No, I think you really nailed it there, Brian. And I really like and enjoy having this conversation earlier. I know one thing that many people may be listening are hearing is starting that foundation here today and building on that and making some strong residual programs really start today. So thank you for having me.
Okay, one last question before I leave you, or a little bit open-ended here. Can you talk just a little bit about Fall Valor and what people are seeing on winter annuals, especially when they get the Valor out in the fall as opposed to waiting until spring?
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to talk to that too. So I'm originally from Nebraska. I've spent several years in Nebraska, And we have a lot of no-till there, of course. And you think about the winter annuals like mare's tail, and even into the plains, we know we start to think about kochia and some of these other early germinating summer annuals. And where we like to be out in the fall is to add in your residual, so then you're going to come back and be able to better plan for your spring to stay clean. So really, when you hear the term start clean, stay clean, that start clean can even begin in the fall time. So if you're out there with your burn down, I'd always recommend adding in a residual to make that burn down more effective going into the springtime. And you said it, Brian, there's a host of weeds that we're thinking about, including those purple ones in the spring, henbit. And then, like you said before, too, the kochia and the mare's tail are really the key suspects here to get out of the way in the fall. So, and then in the spring, we can turn our page and really focus on those water hemp and palmer and those other summer annual weeds.
Yep, absolutely. Well, again, we've been talking to Quentin Brandt. He's with Valent. Quentin, thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.
You too. Yeah, I asked him about fall valor there. We have seen some really good results with fall herbicides being done in no-till and strip-till. And I'll just tell you, like on our own farm, about 25 years ago, we switched some acres from conventional till to no-till. And all of a sudden, well, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, over a period of time, a bunch of new weeds started showing up. We started having dandelion issues and mare's tail and, you know, some other winter annuals. And I'm going, what the heck? Where'd all these weeds come from? And we're fighting mare's tail. And, you know, eventually I just said, let's spray in the fall. And actually, we went out with a quart of Banvil. That worked great. We've done some valor in the fall. And especially as you go west and north of here, where they have a lot more kochia issues as well. I mean, that fall valor has just been awesome. And the big thing is you can't use the normal spring rate. You don't use 2 ounces. You use 3 ounces at a minimum. And personally, I like 4 even, because then you've got tremendous residual going into the spring. Works really well. You don't have all those winter annuals you're trying to fight with. And I mean, as I'm sure you are well aware, the big problem with the winter annuals and perennials, of course, too, would be they're big when it's time to spray in the spring and the weather's cold. And so you don't get a good herbicide kill, and then you're trying to fight these things in crop. Well, whether you realize it or not, and if you actually study that little area where each individual weed is, if it's allowed to grow in the spring and you don't kill it in the fall, you will lose yield. You will lose yield. So we can't start out with weeds growing in the spring or we get hurt. That's our problem, at least in our region of the country. Now, in other areas of the country where it's much wetter, then they'll talk about raising cover crops into the spring and planting into a living cover, and those things can work okay. And even you can have a few weeds growing right away in the spring, and you don't lose yield right where those weeds have grown. But here, where we're dry most of the time, it just doesn't work. Anything grows, that means less yield. So I know that harvest is your busiest time of year. Believe me, it is on our farm too. And we work crazy hours. But this year, we're getting started way earlier than normal. I mean, like literally 3 weeks earlier than normal, we're starting. So we've already done a couple hundred acres of corn harvest. It's unbelievable. This is the second earliest we've ever harvested corn on our farm, ever in the history of our farm. Second earliest. So here's my point. You hopefully we'll have at least a couple of extra afternoons this spring, just stop the combine on a couple nice warm afternoons and go out and spray some herbicide out there. Get it done, and then you're just going to be so much happier come spring. If nothing else, at least take your very weediest fields and get those hit this fall. So fall herbicide does work great. We've done it for lots of years on our farm, and I'm really happy that we have. It's helped our weed control just tremendously. Well, we'll keep talking about rebate and tie-in programs right after this.
When it comes to innovative herbicide formulations, you know Nufarm. They've been bringing growers trusted brands like Panther, Credit Extreme, and Cheetah for decades, made right here in the USA. What's your favorite Nufarm brand? Email it to turnuptheburn@nufarm.com and you'll be entered to win a monthly $1,000 product giveaway. In these challenging times, we know you're under pressure. Nufarm's here to help.
Success isn't just about maintaining your operation, how you make out for the season, or how much you can get from each acre. It's about doing precisely what needs to be done to feed your crop and grow your legacy. All the way down to the last drop. AgroLiquid Precision Crop Nutrition. Apply less, expect more. Find a retailer at agroliquid.com.
You would never plant seed or apply herbicide with a 20% success rate. So why are you still applying phosphorus fertilizer with a maximum availability of only 20%? Double your phosphate availability and increase yields with NutriCharge from AgroTech USA. NutriCharge's patent-pending technology protects phosphorus from negative chemical reactions that tie up your fertilizer investment. NutriCharge performs across all soil types and pHs. Contact AgroTech USA or your local Van Deese supply representative today.
What's the next big thing from the Roundup Ready Extend crop system? A soybean built on Roundup Ready to Extend technology, or one with glufosinate tolerance? Great news, it's both. Expected soon. Extend Flex Soybeans. Always read and follow IRM where applicable. Grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Commercial availability in 2021 is dependent on regulatory approval. No dicamba may be used in crop with Extend Flex Soybeans unless and until approved. And no dicamba formulations are currently registered for such use in the 2021 season. Learn more at extendflexsoy.com.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at soilwarrior.com.
A history of success means proven performance, but let's call performance what it is. Profitability. And boosting yours, no matter what the season brings, is the goal of DeKalb brand corn. Backed by exclusive genetics, whole farm solutions, and unmatched dealer support, let nothing shake your perseverance. Ask your dealer how DeKalb brand corn can help you realize a future of performance. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Talking about rebates and tie-in programs for 2021. And a lot of plans are starting to be made right now in terms of seed varieties that growers are picking out. I know for our farm, we're evaluating what we're seeing in the field, picking some new things. Also looking at what we did for crop protection programs and more. Real happy to have Josh Vandewall on with us right now with Bayer. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, certainly in 2020, the big program out there on the market was Bayer Plus, and growers in our area were all over it. It was amazing how many guys had switched products and were using some Bayer products just because of the tie-ins. Talk to us about what 2021's program was like and what grower feedback was for this year's program, and then we'll talk about what you're changing for next year.
Yeah, sounds great. We had a great year in the first year of Bayer Plus Rewards. Over 50,000 growers are enrolled in the program, and we feel very confident in being able to pay out those growers on time in November with 100% of their earnings, so in a really good spot. Because of that, we're not making a lot of changes as we go into 2021. So most of what you see in the program from 2020 will remain for 2021. So if you were enrolled also in 2020, you don't need to enroll again. There are a few changes, though, and we can talk about that here in a little bit.
All right. So when you think about this program, obviously Bayer has seed brands, Bayer has traits, chemistry. It's kind of a neat way to tie things together and help growers get their whole program put together so you make sure you don't miss anything throughout the season. I know so often it's hard because you're picking and choosing this over there and that over here, but to be able to do it all in one thing is pretty convenient. And when you can save money with each new thing you're getting, that's kind of a nice thing too. So talk to us just a little bit about this. As you're looking into 2021, obviously you got a lot of experience last year. What's going to be a little bit different this year?
Yeah, so again, most everything's the same. So that simplicity that you talk about in 2020 will still remain. So growers still have a lot of choices they can make, in which crop protection products they choose. Of course, we've got our national brand seed, which is DeKalb Asgrow and Delta Pine included as well as options. What's new for 2021, though, we do have a brand new category called the Partner Products Incentives. So in this case, our partner is Valent. We have several Valent brands that have been in the program for a number of years, but we have their own separate category called the Partner Products Incentive, and it's going to work a little bit differently for 2021, but it should provide some additional earning opportunities for our growers. We also will have an opportunity with Climate Fuel View, and if a grower is enrolled in Bayer Plus, they can get FieldView Plus for free for an additional 1 year if they add their email to their Bayer Plus account. So those are a couple of the key changes as we look at next year.
Yeah, that climate program is already catching attention. I know a couple of our neighbors have already been talking about this. I was thinking about doing that. Now I'm for sure going to do that. And just looking at our first harvest data today already, Josh, we were evaluating, let's look at fields. Let's compare some hybrids. And climate is such a neat tool to be able to do that. I love that addition to the program. Talk to us about fungicides. I think one other thing that we noticed in 2021 was a lot of farms that we talked to that were maybe on the fence about doing a fungicide said, wow, with Bayer Plus, that fungicide as my fifth product is going to be pretty reasonably priced. And I think that did encourage some more good things happening out in fields.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the beauty of Bayer Plus Rewards, that there's so many different agronomic solutions that you can make choices on and even increase your earnings as you go along. Something like a fungicide that oftentimes is decided in season, you can kind of know what you've already used and then use that in your decision-making process as you're choosing what you're going to use. So certainly it's a huge advantage for Bayer Plus Rewards and for our growers.
Well, for growers who are looking for more details or who haven't been involved with the Bayer Plus Rewards from 2020 and want to get involved this year, where can they find more details and how easy is it to get signed up?
Yeah, absolutely. The best place to go is mybayerplus.com. We are just in the midst of making the updates to the website, the calculator, and all that. So that should be live here a little bit later here in September. So be looking for that because obviously the 2020 program details is still up there. For the grower portal itself, it's really a cool place where growers can see all their purchases, see how they earned, redeem it for cash back and all that. For 2021, we won't change that over until May 1st. Just want to set the expectations appropriately for that, and then they will be able to redeem up to half of their earnings starting then. So, but yeah, there's a lot of great details up on mybayerplus.com, so be sure to check it out.
Thanks a lot. We're talking to Josh Vandewall with Bayer about Bayer Plus Rewards for 2021. Exciting program. Josh, thank you so much. We appreciate having you on.
Yeah, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
So we've been talking about these rebate programs so far, and I guess I just want to throw out here too, many of the companies also have finance programs. This is a big deal because it costs money to run the finance programs, but they are eating the cost. So you can get 0% financing from companies like Bayer, FMC, BSF, and a number of others. And we just really encourage you, check out those programs, but don't check them out when you get ready to buy chemistry this winter. Because when you do, you've already passed the best time of year to buy. Here's where I'm going with this. If you go right now to your retailer and say, I want to finance a bunch of stuff that I'm going to do in 2021, can I do it on a 0% financing program with Bayer, let's just say, and buy some product right now? And if I buy it now, will I get a better price in December? And every one of them will say, yes, you can. Well, why not take advantage of that? You're going to pay your bill. The bill's going to come due next. So it'd be, December of 2021 anyway, whether you finance it now, you finance it in December, or you finance it next April. But the difference is your net bill and what you're going to have to pay is going to be a lot less the earlier you do it. So I realize that you say, well, I'm not ready to make decisions yet for 2021. Do it anyway. And even if you change your mind, it's no big deal. It doesn't cost you anything. So this is one of the biggest things that our dad talked to us about all the time. He's like, guys, you got to work a ton of hours. If you think you're ever going to make any money working 40 hours a week, dream on. Not even close. So, I mean, I've been an agronomist for 30 years. I'm still working. Most weeks, it's 60 or 70 hours. And I mean, literally year-round, even in a blizzard, I'm still working that much. You got to work a ton of hours. But on top of that, he always said, look, you got to make money with your back, which to him just meant hard work. But the other side is you got to make it with a pencil. And what that meant was you got to make money with your brain. And when there are offers out there that cost you nothing extra, and all you have to do is just put an order in, so you have no money down, no firm commitment, you just put an order in and you get a better price, that's what we are looking for. That's what we want. And this, again, is part of the reason why we do Ag PhD. So at least you're aware of this stuff that's going on, because I don't think the companies promote that nearly enough. But if it was me, I would talk to your retailer right now. Right now, the finance programs for 2021 are already out. You might as well get some money going to your retailer, which allows them to get you a better price. Your net bill is going to be less, and you're going to pay the bill at the same time, again, whether you commit now or you commit later.
All right, Brian, we had a question come in. You talked just a little bit about Fall Valor. Yep. Marty from Kansas had a question, and he said, he's going to hit right at you too, Brian. Do you like Fall Valor better than Fall Distinct?
Of course I do. With the Valor that
now, it
has
depends
residual
on what weed
into
you're
the spring.
About. Let's just say you had to kill dandelions. I would take the Fall Distinct. If you said you can only have one or the other, I'd prefer to have both where I had some residual too.
Sure. And I will say, honestly, I like Distinct. I just have liked Banvel better because I can put on such a massive rate and it's legal. And I'm going to leave a lot of residual. So I really like Distinct. You got to be a little bit careful too, because that's only labeled in non-croplands for the most part now and not in croplands. So I don't know even if you are allowed to do that. If you're going to plan to plant corn in the spring, I'd have to look at the label. I really like Distinct. It's the same thing as Status without the corn safener, but I mean, the Valor has such nice residual going into the spring. That's the big reason why somebody would pick Valor. But yeah, if it's me, I'm probably going Banvel rather than Distinct in the fall. And then throw the Valor in if you want residual into the spring. Well, stay tuned. We'll get to more of your questions next.
Hey, Adam. New drone?
Not just any drone.
I mounted a laser on it to take out weeds.
Look out for that tree.
In the power lines! Oh, it's in for the house.
There's a simpler way to protect spring wheat from weeds. Perfect Match Herbicide. The broadest spectrum weed and grass control in one product. Learn more at PerfectMatchHerbicide.com. Always read and follow label directions.
The laser.
Each year brings new and unique challenges to farming, and your operation needs to constantly adapt to meet them. That's why at AgBiome, we're working every day to bring you new and better solutions. Microbial-based solutions that protect your crop and help it reach its full potential. To learn more about how we're doing it, visit agbiome.com. That's AGBIOME.com. AgBiome, feeding the world responsibly. Partnering with microbes for human benefit.
As a little girl, I always wanted to run the combine because it meant I was helping Dad. And Dad always said, farmers are helpers. I'm teaching that to my daughters, that farmers help our family, our neighbors, and our community. It's what I do at work. I help farmers get the equipment they need. My name is Kim. I'm a farmer, and I work for Case IH.
Case IH, built by farmers.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotam North America's mesotrion herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation, the consistent performance of Asgrow brand soybeans helps to keep your profitability out in front, offering leading agronomic expertise and 100% exclusive genetics for strong yield potential. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Asgrow leads the way. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Oh my goodness, did you see Bob's gorgeous soybean rows?
Totally. I couldn't believe how clean, weed-free his entire field looked. I'm like, so jealous.
I heard he started using this new post-applied residual herbicide called Perpetuo, and its burn down and long-lasting residual power is making his soybeans, like, literally the talk of the town.
Ah, so Perpetuo's his secret.
Yep.
Talk to your retailer or visit Valent.com/Perpetuo to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Been talking about rebates and tie-in programs, and that's all exciting and everything, but I want to dive back into the Ag PhD mailbag, get into some of your hard questions here. So, all right, this one comes from Terry. He said, I've included a soil test for a field that I'll be going to soft red winter wheat this fall. After listening to your podcast, we started tissue testing this year and noticed at times potassium deficiencies. For me to get my K levels up where you guys talk about, how much do I need to apply? What's the easiest way for potassium to replace the excess calcium and magnesium? And personally, I'd like to replace the magnesium with that potassium if possible.
Okay, so before we talk about anything else, we got to talk about drainage. And I don't know if your drainage is good or not.
It's in Northwest Ohio, Brian, so I'm going to guess it's not.
Well, yeah, it's 21 cation exchange capacity. So we would call that just into heavy ground, just a little bit heavier than what we would normally call medium textured. Usually we say less than 10 is light ground, 10 to 20 is medium, and above 20 is heavy. Well, anyway, he's at 21. So, I mean, I don't know if he's got a big issue with that or not, because I don't have sodium readings, I don't think. I haven't found them here. If there are sodium readings, doesn't look like it. His sulfur isn't too high. I don't have nitrate either. So, I mean, I don't have, for the leachables, I don't really know where we're sitting. That's my point. A lot of times that's an indicator. If your leachables aren't leaching, that tells you got a drainage issue. Anyway, so in terms of how much you would apply, let's run some simple numbers here. So he's got parts per million potassium, 316. And right now he's at exactly 2%. So let's say you wanted to get to 4% base saturation K. Now, the only good news that I will share with you here is potassium prices are down over the last couple of years and down quite a bit. So that's good news. But anyway, if I'm at 316 and I'm at 2%, well, what do I need to be to get to 4%? Roughly, I'm going to have to double that number. So I'm going to need about 316 more parts per million. Okay, well, here's the problem. Pounds, you got to multiply that times 2. I'm assuming this is a 6-inch soil test. Got to multiply that times 2. That's 632 pounds of actual K. And then you go, well, wait a second. That's actual K. How about potash? Isn't potash 0060? Well, yeah, it's 0060 for K2O potassium. For actual potassium, it's 0050. And that's one thing a lot of people don't realize. So anyway, where I'm going with this is you got to take your 632 divided by the 50% that's active in potash. And that means you'd have to put on, if you wanted to do this in one shot, 1,264 pounds just to get up to 4% base saturation K. Now, before you go, Brian, you're insane. I'll tell you two things. Number one, it's not all that many dollars. Number two, if you own the ground, the potassium's going to sit there until you eventually use it. Number three, you don't have to put all that on in one shot if you don't want to. Put it this way. What I often tell people who are on a more limited budget is, and now, would I do this? Yes, I would. I'd put 1,264 pounds on. But what you can do, if you don't want to spend all that money, is just at least put on double what crop removal is. Now, fortunately, with wheat, it doesn't take nearly as much potassium as a good corn crop or especially a good soybean crop. So it's not like it's that much, but just make sure you're putting on a build kind of level. And the reason why is because right now you've got so much magnesium and calcium out there. it's not in ratio. Your potassium isn't in ratio. It's just not getting into the plant, and that's the reason why you're showing low K in the plant tissue analysis. If you get that potassium bumped up to at least 4%, all of a sudden you're going to start finding at least medium to maybe even real good levels of K in the plant. So yeah, somehow, some way, you got to be applying more potassium to the soil.
All right, thanks for the question. Really appreciate that. Thanks for sending in that sample as well. It always helps us as we're trying to help you. Got this from Tyler in Illinois. He said, I'm an agronomist working with a customer interested in putting around 150 pounds of ammonium sulfate in his strip till this fall. Little background, he's been broadcasting 200 to 300 pounds of AMS in the spring with great results, but he wants to cut out a pass if he can. My question is, would the nitrogen and sulfur stick around till spring? He's got variable soils anywhere from a 6 CEC to a 20 with organic matter from a 1.5% up to a 3%. The soils are well drained. He's got patterned tile every 40 or 50 feet, except for the sand, for obvious reasons. And he's wanting to include this ammonium sulfate with his potash, DAP, zinc sulfate, manganese sulfate, and possibly a small amount of sodium borate. Let's get it all done in one shot.
Okay, I understand that. What my concern is how's all that stuff going to mix? Because I'm going to guess he doesn't have a five-compartment hopper that he's dealing with. So that's one of my worries there. In terms of will it still be there in the spring, I can't guarantee you that all of it's going to be in the spring. Nitrate and sulfate are both leachable. Now, the only thing that I'll say is, yes, ammonium sulfate is much more stable. Okay, it's in the ammonium form. But it's going to convert to nitrate eventually. So the later you go in the fall, the better chance you have that it's going to survive till spring. Now for us on our farm, I'm not worried about it because we get half the rainfall you do. We also freeze up a month earlier than you do. And I just don't have a lot of issues. We'll put it out in the fall and it's there in the spring, probably 95 times out of 100. And I mean, like all of it's there. So, but as I say that, you got to be careful about where you're doing any fall applications. So if it's where a river could take the field out, even if it only takes the field out 1 out of 20 years, it's not worth it. It's not worth it putting in that kind of ground. If you're positive it's not going to flood from the river, then yeah, I'd probably do it in the fall. Just make sure you do it really late. Also, 6 CEC, that's the reason why I'm so concerned. Your 20 CEC, you're probably okay. But on the, let's call it light fields. If you have light fields, that's where, if it's me, I'm probably just going to wait on that ammonium sulfate till spring. Anything that's 20 CEC, I'd probably do in the fall. But again, just make sure you're doing it late in the fall, closer to freeze up. Too early right now.
Okay, thanks for the question. You got a couple alfalfa ones here. And the first one, let's just start with this one. This is from Tom in Indiana. He said, what do you recommend as a pre-emerge herbicide for alfalfa hay?
One thing, Eptam. Eptam at 0.5 gallon per acre. That is awesome. That is the old Eradicane without the corn safener. It's just the only downfall to it is you've got to till it in. And it's not super cheap. It's probably 18, 20 bucks an acre, something like that. But it is worth it. It is a fantastic product. Pretty easy on the alfalfa and really good on grass and a lot of broadleaves.
Yeah, it's been a really nice herbicide. We've done that for years. All right, got another one.
Oh, the problem is if you don't do that, we don't have a lot of great options post-emerge. So do that in front of alfalfa. You're okay, investing crazy money.
Don't steal my thunder here because the next question comes from Dana in Nebraska. He said, I'm wondering what my best residual herbicide option is for established alfalfa that can be put on during the growing season. I'm having a tough time killing pigweed. I've got Roundup Ready alfalfa, but of course, Roundup is not working so well anymore on pigweed.
Nope. We have no answer for you, unfortunately. So you have basically three post-emerge choices for broadleaves: Raptor, Buctrel, and Old Butyrac. That would be 2,4-DB that you can only use in an ounce or two because it's too hard in the alfalfa. Raptor, that's an ALS, and I assume most of the pigweed is ALS resistant. Buctrel's weak on pigweeds. Butyrac has some activity, but you can't use much, and it's not enough to kill anything.
You can't use enough to get the job done. The other thing is, what about dormant time? We get a lot of questions about, can I put on some harsh products when the alfalfa is dormant?
I know. People talk about Velpar, Metribuzin, and there are a few of them out there. I just don't like it. It's hard on the alfalfa. And so if you want to do that, if you're to that point, I get it. And you can try it, but it just makes me sad because you're going to hurt your alfalfa. Your production isn't going to be there. And so generally what I tell people is if they get to that point, I say, tear the stand up, plant another crop for a year or two, and then go back to alfalfa if you want to. And just make sure that you get that weed seed bank cleaned up. This is why it's so important to have great weed control every year, because sooner or later you might rotate to a crop like alfalfa or sunflowers, or, you know, one of these crops where we just don't have good post-emerge options. We have nothing. So you can't let weeds go to seed, otherwise you're fighting them for years and years and years. Well, we'll get to more of your questions in the Ag PhD mailbag right after this.
If you're looking to get the most out of your foliar nutrition and fungicide programs, ask your ag retailer about Nutex EDA from Sipcam Agro. Nutex EDA has been proven to increase foliar micronutrient tissue levels and maintain those levels for an extended period of time. When tank mixed with fungicides, Nutex EDA helps support plant health, resulting in higher quality and yields. Nutex EDA is an affordable and effective solution that should be part of every grower's high-yield toolbox.
Your land is a legacy, a challenge from those who tended it before you, to build on their foundations. At Corteva Agriscience, we understand what it means to be the stewards of a legacy. We embrace the challenge of building on the foundation of Dow AgroSciences to maintain your trust, to bring new solutions, to help you care for your land. See how we can help build your legacy at rangeandpasture.com.
Find your full potential and increase your bottom line with branded generic herbicides from Atticus LLC. Tough broadleaf weeds are a hassle, but they're no match for Cavallo from Atticus. Cavallo delivers fast, contact, and residual control so your corn, soybean, and sorghum crops can thrive. Growers across the region count on Atticus for relevant and reliable products that deliver results every time. Ask your local retailer about Atticus products and visit atticusllc.com to learn more. For value-based solutions you can trust, turn to Atticus. Always read and follow label instructions.
Make every bushel count with the Endzone Bin Fan Control System from Farm Shop MFG. Harvesting soybeans too dry causes shutter loss in the field and revenue loss from shrink when you go to market. With the Endzone, you can combine higher moisture beans earlier in the season to reduce field loss, then use your bin fans to naturally reach your target moisture. Condition your grain for maximum profit with the Endzone. For more information, visit farmshopmfg.com.
You deserve to have a building that will last for generations. With more than 110 years of experience and thousands of satisfied customers, Morton Buildings is the industry leader you can trust. Unlike other construction companies, you work with Morton Buildings craftsmen from conception to completion. There's no better time to buy. Lock in your new building for 2020 today. Contact your local Morton sales office or visit mortonbuildings.com.
Oh my goodness, did you see Bob's gorgeous soybean rows?
Totally. I couldn't believe how clean, weed-free his entire field looked. I'm like, so jealous.
I heard he started using this new post-applied residual herbicide called Perpetual, and its burned down and long-lasting residual power is making his soybeans, like, literally the talk of the town.
Ah, so Perpetuo's his secret.
Yep.
Talk to your retailer or visit valent.com/perpetuo to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're right in the middle of the Ag PhD mailbag time, taking your calls and agronomic questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Or you can email us radio@agphd.com. Brian, you look fired up.
Well, Darren and I were having a discussion during our break about just some of these harsh products. Like I was just mentioning the Velpar and Metribuzin, and there are others that you can use on dormant alfalfa or established alfalfa, and it's hard on the alfalfa. And this, so almost every day I come up with something where I do get fired up about it because it just torques me off when companies are trying to sell you stuff because they want to sell stuff and that's hard on your crop. You got to make money. You can't have yield loss. You can't have tonnage loss. I mean, that's no good. So when you've got crops like alfalfa that you just don't have much for weed control options. you really have to look at your cultural practices. So in other words, for 5 to 10 years prior to seeding that alfalfa, you can't have a single weed go to seed. I mean, like nothing. So very often we talk to people who say, well, it's not economical to kill those last 200 weeds that are out in my field. And I'm going, really? Are you sure about that? What crop are you going to rotate to 5 years from now? Well, I'm sure it'll just be corn and beans. Well, you don't know that. It's just like us. We had a big new dairy go in right next to us. Well, all of a sudden, I'm thinking maybe I will raise some alfalfa. I hadn't thought that before, never dreamed about it, but now maybe I will. Well, if I've had a field that's had weeds on it at all in the last 5, 10 years, I got a problem. So that's the first thing. Don't let weeds go to seed. Herbicides are really cheap. I mean, really cheap in corn and soybeans and wheat. So spend the money. It's well worth it in the long run. That's the first thing. The next thing is you've got to start with a great pre-emerge herbicide. You can't let weeds get going. That's why we talk about Eptam. Use Eptam. And I know it costs a little bit of money, but who cares? You're doing it once in your 4-year stand of the alfalfa. It's one time. It's $20. So what? Average that out. That's $5 a year for the best possible weed control you could ever dream of pre-emerge with alfalfa. It's worth it. Just do it. And then with that alfalfa, you got to do everything to keep it thick. How do you do that? It's great drainage and it's great fertility. So before you seed the alfalfa, you got to really look at, what do I have here for fertility? Do I have enough down in the soil where I actually need it to get by for 4 years? We have heavy ground, no rainfall, frozen half the year. I put phosphorus on the soil surface after year one of alfalfa. Guess what? It's not getting down there, so the alfalfa can truly use it well. Till the next time I till out there, which is after the alfalfa's done, 3 or 4 years later. That's not going to work. Just put the money out early on your fertility and get it down in the ground when it's nutrients that aren't leachable. They don't move in the water. So phosphorus, zinc, potassium, copper, things like that, just put them down in the ground, spend the money. And I know it costs some money, but when you invest money up front, you've got a much better chance to keep those weeds out and have a lot more tons in total over the 4-year lifespan of that alfalfa. So it's just, if you want to do it right on crops like that, And these perennial crops, you've got to think ahead and you've got to spend the money up front. You can't be trying to get by cheap. Otherwise, this is why we get these questions a year or 2 years later. And guys go, oh, I don't know. I got all these dandelions out there. What am I going to do now? And I go, pull out the plow. So tear it up. You're done. So anyway, yeah, I don't mean to keep harping on this thing, but if you're going to put in perennial crops, you got to be prepared for the investment. Go talk to the banker and just say, look, I got to spend an extra $300 an acre on the fertility. I'm spending it now, so I don't have to spend it later. It's all going to come out in the wash on these things that are not leachable. Okay, so just keep that in mind. When I talk about these high rates of phosphorus or potassium or zinc or copper, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be in your soil till you eventually use them. Yes, you had to spend a bunch of money now, but that just means your expenses are less later on.
All right, I got 3 soil tests. The first 2 are the ones that he wanted to ask the question about. This is from Tanner, and he said, I've forwarded some soil samples. They're from the same field. It's relatively new crop ground. One is labeled M31 good. That's producing good crops in spite of high sodium. The one labeled M31 bad struggles to grow anything. Now, the ground is super hard despite deep ripping and watering. The current crop is silage corn, after which we will plant triticale for a winter cover crop, and the field is irrigated. What should our approach to this field be? Would you suggest applying gypsum? How important is it that the gypsum is applied before a tillage pass? How much do we lose if we apply gypsum during the winter once the triticale is established? Well, first thing I would do, Tanner, is get a sample of that water. I wonder what kind of water you've got coming out through that pivot. The next thing is, if you're putting manure on.
If the water is bad, what do? Well, you can dig a deeper well, you look for a different water source, or you have to look at some type of treatment. Anyway, go ahead.
The other thing that I would look at is it appears you're applying manure out there. It appears you're getting the manure back. You're putting silage into dairy cattle or something, getting the manure back. You've got some base saturation potassium levels up in the 8, 10% range on the good and bad samples that you sent. If that's the way it is across the whole farm, where you've got that much potassium out there already, you may need to adjust what you're doing with that manure, and you may need to be putting manure on elsewhere. It's possible that all this salt is coming from the manure, and we may need to take some time off from putting manure on this field.
Yeah, you probably don't have to get too carried away. I mean, honestly, the big thing here is drainage. So if you got tile out there, and I know it sounds absolutely insane to say, oh, in Utah, I need tile. Well, that's what guys said in Arizona until they put it in and it worked, and they go, oh, I guess that does solve my sodium issues. But when you have sodium, you have to turn it to a salt. So that's where the discussion comes in about throwing gypsum out. Now, there are other ways to do it. Basically, you just need more sulfur out there. That's the number one thing. And that sulfate can combine. If you get sulfate out there, that can combine with both the magnesium and the sodium to form salts. And if you have good drainage, it will leach away. And when you're talking CECs of 11 to 13, that's medium textured soil. So it shouldn't drain that poorly. If you do get some more calcium out there, or even if you just simply are able to combine the sulfate with magnesium and sodium, you're going to flush some of that stuff out. You're going to start getting better porosity. But yeah, when you are at, let's see, on base saturation, 3.5 to 6 on sodium, that's tough. And here's the other thing. When you say, oh, this is good ground versus not good ground, look, on your good ground, you're at 6% sodium. You might call it good ground today. You don't have many years left, and that's going to be dead too. So you got to get after both things. The only difference, and Darren, I don't know what you saw here, but on where he says it's not good is he's got really high potassium, over 10%, and his magnesium is 27%. So the magnesium being really high tells you it's really tight soil. With the potassium high, and in addition to sodium being high, that really kills stuff. That's harsh on stuff. So you gotta quit putting fertilizer out, which in your case means manure. And Darren, did he say he had manure? Is that what the deal was?
No, but he's chapping silage. He said it's corn silage.
Gotcha.
And they're going to put triticale out there over the winter. Well, guess what's going to happen with the triticale, you know?
Yeah, okay. So anyway, the reason why I asked is because his phosphorus levels are really low. I mean, really low. Like it would be shocking to me if he's been putting manure out there when the phosphorus levels are that low. But maybe, you might be right. I know, like, for the dairy that we had next to us for years, when we first started using their manure, I tested it. I didn't really pay super close attention, but I eventually realized they're really light on phosphorus. So if you just use that as your fertilizer source, you were going to be great on nitrogen and potassium and terrible on phosphorus. So we had to immediately start supplementing with commercial fertilizer on the phosphorus end of things. And so maybe that could be right, but let's look at all the other nutrients too. So when I look at his soil tests, the bad ground is in worse shape on copper. It's in worse shape on boron. It's in worse shape on manganese, on iron, on zinc, and on sulfate. So, I mean, all of those things, I mean, you got six nutrients there that bad ground is shorter on than the good ground. So I'm sure that is a portion of it as well. Look at everything. Feed that crop. You got a number of things that you need, but yeah, you got to get that sodium fixed.
Thanks for the questions. We really appreciate that, Tanner. And good luck to you. And if you have a water quality sample or anything else you'd like us to look at, or manure sample, we'd be happy to do that too. Thanks for listening to our show today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.